You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Because we are joined by Amamelia. How is it going on your end?
Hey, it's incredible. Watching you guys do all the behind-the-scenes.
Hold on, two texts. I'm so sorry. I've missed something up here.
I can hear.
You can hear?
Yeah, it's just really quiet. Is the volume not all right?
Yeah, it should be.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Hold on, 2 seconds. I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
All right, can you hear?
Oh.
Me?
Yes. It's very...
It's very quiet, is it?
Uh-oh. All
right. Okay.
How about now?
I think we're back.
That's
I'm
better.
So sorry. Yeah, it's been a little while since we've done interviews on the screen. How's it all going on your end, Amamelia?
It's fantastic. Look, all of this is just making me miss being on student radio. making me miss being on BFM. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It's not knowing what the right button to push is and then you find the button. There's no feeling like that.
No.
Yeah, no, it's not the best feeling. But
yes. Nothing like embarrassing ourselves live in live radio.
No, well, I think we're all good now. I think we're all good now. So,
hell yeah.
New album coming out April. That's pretty exciting. The Joy of Living. I think my first question would be, what inspired you to make an album of this kind? I mean, the tone so far, from what I've heard, is very whimsical. It's very joyful, and just a whole lot of fun. So what's the kind of influence behind that?
I mean, honestly, I came up with the album title first. I'm really terrible for being like a little bit like galaxy brain conceptual about music. So I came up with the title and I was like, that is a good name for an album. And being a slightly miserable person, it has been a challenge to put together. but yeah, I don't know. I just kind of wanted to do something that was like, in some ways really different from the last record. So it's like, it's like very busy and lots of layers of everything and very kind of all over the place.
Yeah, totally. I think even in those three tracks that are out currently, you can already kind of pick up on some of that variety. I mean, especially in, what's it called? I have it written down. I was just listening to it today. It's very funky. The floating opera, that's what it's called. And it was the something opera. That one slaps. I got to say, that one's my favorite. That one you can really bust a move to. That one slaps. How did you decide to make a song that was more, and I would say, like, a bit of a different genre, you know, of electronic music and that, you know, it's a bit more funkier?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, when I am starting to make an album, I kind of approach it like a mixtape almost. I'm like, I have kind of in mind a few types of track that I like and that I kind of want to do a version of. But the floating opera ended up being like a real kind of weird mutant thing.
Really,
When I first started making it, it was way more kind of like craftworky, like clean, like, you know, retro. And then I was like, this needs to be grosser. This needs to be like danker.
That's a good word for it. Yeah.
So it's this interesting combination of these kind of like synths, but then also all of these like, shakers and like hand percussion and weird kind of bird calls and stuff like that. This is probably like one of the records that has the most instruments bought from op shops on it.
Really?
That's really cool.
So you're actually like playing these synths. It's not like sort of plugging them in and kind of like clicking on MIDI or anything like that. You're actually playing all these instruments.
Yeah, basically. I mean, the last album was all very much like in the computer, and this one I was like, well, I don't want to do the same thing twice, so I guess I'll play it all in. It takes like 10 times as long to do. maybe the next one will be a little bit more back in the box with like MIDI stuff. But yeah, this one, like, it's all kind of like played in. There's like, like on the floating opera, there's like fuzz guitar and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I played.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's also that. I actually had a question about that, and that was going to be my question, whether it's actually you playing the guitar. And another question based off that is, how many instruments can you play?
I can play a lot of instruments, not that well, you know, like
fair enough.
Probably like the you know, guitar is the one that I'm most like technically proficient at, but you know, around the house there's like basses and kinds of like recorders and like tin whistles and things like that, and various kinds of keyboards, and I can mostly get a tune out of all of them. I'm terrible at the drums though. I've never able to get the feet incorporated. Like it's
too many limbs. That's fair enough. Things to think about.
Yeah, totally. It would be really cool, actually, for a future project to get one of those like electronic drum kits you can like plug into your computer, and that'd be sick.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Next big purchase.
I noticed in the three songs from the upcoming album, I don't know whether this is on purpose, but it sounded very, like, there's a lot of sounds of Aotearoa in it, like with the cicada, like the summery cicadas and the bird sounds. I don't know, it felt like very much like a local track, even though obviously you're in Melbourne, so I don't know whether that was intentional, but that's what I kind of got from it.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, like, I don't know. I've been pretty homesick over here. Aww. And so, yeah, making the album, kind of when I was trying to think, like, what is the joy of living? Like, what am I going to make in here that I'm going to feel joyful listening to? And yeah, I wanted to put as much, kind of like Aotearoa sounds in there as I could. And so a lot of the field recordings, I mean, some of the stuff is made with synthesizers, like the kind of the crickets and the frogs on Floating Opera, that's synthesizers.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It took ages, and then when I was done, I was like, I should just use a recording. It just sounds like a recording. But a lot of the other ones, the few times that I've been back, I took a field recorder and like just recorded kind of like around my parents' house and stuff. Wow. So there's
So it's actually sounds of Aotearoa.
Yeah, absolutely.
it's straight from the source.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. I have a question about your creative process and how all these songs come to be, and that is, do you prefer to sort of fixate on one at a time, or do you kind of like juggle a bunch and they sort of evolve over time, or do you just kind of sit down and go, right, I'm hammering this out in X amount of time?
Usually I do one at a time. Like, that is how I like to do it. This album, because everything was like, because there's just so much stuff on it, I ended up kind of like doing almost everything on a track and then going and doing something else, and then I would have to kind of come back and like re-record some bits and pieces, just because there were some things that I hadn't done that much before, and I realized were more difficult than I thought, like miking acoustic guitars. The first time I did it wrong, sounded bad, had to go back like do it again. I mean it would be my preference to just do it like kind of in and out pretty quickly, but yeah, when you've got seven different shakers on there, you kind of need to
<It's> a lot
take
to
a break. Yeah.
Are there any other genres that you maybe have plans or have just sort of, I guess, humoured the idea of approaching next, sort of within the sort of electronic umbrella?
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to think of what the next album should be like, and I'm kind of torn between a few different things, like, I don't know. Part of me would love to do some like 80s stuff. Like,
oh, maybe please,
some, like,
that would be sick.
Italo disco, some new wave kind of things. But I don't know. It would require a lot of singing, which is...
That's true.
Yeah. Is kind of a bit different for Amelia. But yeah, I don't know. I listen to lots of different kinds of music. So it's hard for me just to kind of do the same thing over and over again. I get kind of bored.
Fair enough.
What do you think was the biggest like hurdle to get through when creating this? Did you have any creative blocks?
I mean this album took ages. Like my previous album Banana Amelia, honestly it was recorded, it was all like written and recorded in like a month.
Wow.
And then it just took a long time. Yeah. Well, it was lockdown, so I didn't have anything else to do.
Fair.
It got to be my full-time job for a while, which was fun. But, this one, I just, like, the thing that I had in my head was so elaborate that it took a very long time, and there were so many moving pieces that there were various times when I was like, this is so dumb. Why have I decided to do this? And there were a few times when I definitely thought, like, why am I making this weird thing and not making, like, you know, Banana Amelia 2. Like, why am I not just making another breakbeat record with like three instruments on it? Like, that feels like it would be a lot easier. But yeah, I don't know. It all seems worth it now that people like it. But I was really terrified kind of leading up to the release of the songs. Like, I don't think many people are kind of doing this stuff at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose it is always a bit daunting when you put something that, you know, is personal, your own creation out there. But, yeah, I mean, I think we both thought it was tremendous and very excited for the full release. I have a question that is kind of a bit of a selfish question because I just really want to know. And that is, do you have any advice for people that are kind of getting into music production when it comes to that sort of mixing and like the final master? Because I you know, that's the part I find the hardest. And I think it's one of those ones where technically it's, you know, it could be a bit of trial and error. It could take a lot of time. So I'm wondering what your advice would be.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is like slightly technical advice. Like, it's, you know, rather than kind of just like do your best and believe it. I definitely think it's important to always. I have so many people in music producers now. This is probably, people will be interested in this.
Yeah,
sorry,
totally. Totally.
Just doubting myself. I would always mix to a reference track. I think that's really important. Mm. Like, just in your door, drag in your favorite song that sounds like the stuff you're trying to make. And you like, going back and forth between that and what you're working on, you can kind of instantly tell if you've, like, totally gone off piste and, like, your thing sounds like it's underwater or it sounds like it's really, like, got no bass anymore. I think that's probably, like, the most important. And the other thing I think is just kind of like do less. I think like the most powerful tools you have in mixing are your EQ and your volume fader. And like,
yeah,
if you're kind of like putting like another reverb on and maybe it needs a chorus and like, oh, what if it has like a ping pong delay with a flanger on the delay? maybe like go back a few steps and be like, okay, but without those, can I get it to sit right in the mix just with moving the volume up and down and like maybe moving the EQ a little bit?
You know, that's very helpful because, you know, that first point that you made, I've never even thought of that. I don't know how. That's genius. Just have a reference track. I'm going to do that. Thank you.
Yeah. Honestly, it'll change the whole way you work. Yeah.
Awesome.
Was there a specific artist or reference track that you used for some of the songs in this upcoming album?
There were. I was listening to a lot of Ryuichi Sakamoto from Yellow Magic Orchestra, and that was initially one of the reference tracks I was using for mixing, and then I realized it was mixed really weird.
Oh.
And so I was like, yeah, so I was kind of making all my tracks in line with this like slightly strange thing. But yeah, I mean, like, yeah, Yellow Magic Orchestra and Ryuichi Sakamoto were like big touch points for this, as well as some kind of like old synth records, Exotic Moog by Ooh. Martin Denny and what is it called? There's a Hugo Montenegro album called like Electronic Moog Power or something.
Oh, that's, I feel like that's a bit of you.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Heck yeah. Well, I don't wanna take up too much of your time. I think we're about at the 5:30 mark, but thank you so very much for coming in and talking to us today. It's been educational, it's been a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for the release. Sorry, could you remind me the exact date? It's April, is it 17th?
April 17th, I believe, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. All right.
But you can pre-order it on my Bandcamp, amamelia.bandcamp.com. That would be really good if people could do that.
All right, sounds good. Hey, well, thank you so very much. Have a great night.
It's been so lovely talking to you.
I say night, but it won't be night for you, will it, in Australia?
it's about 3:30.
Oh, it's bedtime.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's been lovely.
Thank you very much. Have a great time, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome.
See ya. Wonderful. That was Amamelia new album, The Joy of Living, coming out April 17th. You can go and listen to some of her songs that are out currently, including The Floating Opera and Theme from Living. So, yeah.
On YouTube and
Bandcamp.
Bandcamp, yep. Pre-order.
Indeed. Bandcamp pre-order.
I
think there might be a physical like LP release into it. I'll just have to check. I might be wrong there, but anyway, that would be sick.
We'll come back to you shortly.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.